we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness.
Thank you for joining us for this program from the 9th Avenue Church of Christ in Hayleville, Alabama. We hope that you will subscribe and will share our program with others. Now, we take you to the service of the 9th Avenue Church of Christ.
Last week, we started in the book of Acts chapter 1. Really, we covered Acts chapter 1 and 2 and talked about some very powerful things that need to be in place in our journey and our walk with God. We talked about the Holy Spirit and prayer and in the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 and how powerful prayer is, and that the whole course of Acts, whole course of the book of Acts can be rewound and found, and you can find its foundation in the prayer that the apostles were praying through chapter 1, that they came together and they devoted themselves to that for a period of time between the death or the ascension of Jesus and then the Holy Spirit coming on to them. And then as you go through, we talked about the importance of baptism and repentance and the Holy Spirit in our own life. Fast forward into Acts chapter 42 and 47 and the things that we need to devote ourselves to. And really, that's the beginning of the journey, right? The beginning of the journey in our walk with God as children of God and as Christians. I want to do, I guess you could say in a way, part two, a continuation of that, as we open up our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians this morning. We're going to look in chapter 1, but 1 Thessalonians, one of the things that we absolutely cannot be guilty of as Christians and as the church is teaching the idea that once you're baptized, once you become a Christian, that's it. We have to continue growing in our faith. It's really easy sometimes to make that moment of salvation the bullseye moment, that's what we're working toward. And once we get there, we kind of slack off, right? Because I've got salvation, I'm good. But really and truly, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning part. Now, for a lot of people, there is a journey to get to that point, or a longer journey, maybe a more intense journey than with others. But in our walk, that is the beginning, and then that next step really starts that journey in God and in our faith. And those individual journeys, I was thinking about this the other night while I was watching a baseball game. I got to go to Atlanta the other night and watch the Braves play, and I was sitting in my seat, and I was looking around, and everybody there was there for the same thing, right? They were there to see the ball game. We were all participants in the same event, per se, right? But as I was watching people, one of the things that just really hit me was that everybody's there for the same thing, but everybody has their own personal experience at that game. Everybody's experience is going to be completely different. My experience is different than the people that sit behind me, the people that sit down in front of us, the people that was, everybody's experience is different. You come into that with the same purpose, but everybody's experience and what they walk from and remembering in that game is all going to be different. And really, that is so true in the church as well. We are all here together, participating in worship, remembering the Lord's sacrifice, singing together, worshiping together. We're all here worshiping for the same reason, but our personal experiences as we come into this moment are all completely different. What I've experienced through this week and have brought into this time of worship, whether it be in a positive way or even in a negative way, it's different from the experience that you bring in and the experience that you have and the way God is working in your life and what's going to happen when you leave this place and walk through the rest of your week. All of our experiences are going to be different. But yet all of those experiences make up the church. And we have to have as many positive, Christ-filled, Holy Spirit-centered experiences and worship moments to really grow and make this thing what God really intends for it to do. And so when we open up 1 Thessalonians, we see a church that, just like us, different people, different experiences, but same purpose. And Paul addresses how they are tackling that purpose, how they're living that purpose in chapter 1. You've heard me say before, if I could go back and be a part of any church of the New Testament, I would want to go to Thessalonica. I'd want to be a part of this church for a while because the things that Paul says about them in chapter 1 are just so incredible. So we're going to read some things together, make some observations. So really what I want us to think about as we read this is last week was part one. Last week was getting into Christ. Last week was about the journey starting. This week is about what those steps look like as we continue to journey. Now, they're not going to all be specific steps, right? Because everybody's journey is different. But what's the general direction and the general effort that we need to put in together? Thank you, Neil, if you'll run through that while I read. Let's start in verse 2. We're going to read through 2, verse 10, and come back and make some points. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Christ Jesus. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, whom rescued us from the coming wrath. All right, so let's back up and let's look at verses 2 and 3 together. This really jumps us into the rest of the passage and the rest of what we want to talk about. So he starts, and where we started last week, where does Paul start this letter? Paul starts this letter, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our, say it again, in our prayers. How important is prayer? And when you look at things in Scripture, when you look at the letters that Paul's writing, when you look at the biggest moments of Scripture, you can just almost always come back to the starting point. The foundation of all of that starts with what? Prayer. And prayer is one of those things that we talk about so, so much. And that the idea of prayer, the idea of just talking to God, sounds like a very simple thing. Some of you love to talk. How many of you love to talk? How many of you just talking is easy for you? Talking is easy for you. How many of you are on the other side of it that it's like, I'll just sit here and be quiet? Well, you're not going to raise your hand for that either, are you? You're not going to draw any attention to myself. Some of us, the idea of talking and sharing is easy. And I think for people with that type of personality, sometimes even prayer is easier because we are more comfortable with the idea of just sharing thoughts and emotions. But if we have maybe a more reserved personality, sometimes that can even hinder our prayer life. And I'm not saying that either personality is good or bad, but sometimes we make prayer sound easy and seem like it should be easy. But really and truly, prayer is a discipline. Prayer is something that takes practice. Prayer is something for it to truly be effective. We have to practice it and live it and make it an everyday part of our life. But if you're like me sometimes, it's also the easiest thing to forget. Sometimes it can be the easiest thing to forget that it's easy to remember and to think about the things that are right in front of you. But the fact that we don't see God sometimes makes us forget or allows us to forget to talk to God. And we have to overcome that challenge. We have to get back in that rhythm and back in that routine. But one of the things that I see from Paul over and over and over, and he starts the majority of his letters this way, that he wants everybody to know, I talk about you to God. I mention you in my prayers. You are on my heart, and you are part of this spiritual journey with me. And so it has to be the center starting point for us as well. But then we get into, really, it's kind of my favorite verse. Well, maybe two sections here are equally as favorite to me, but where he starts and he says, we remember you before God for a very specific purpose. And to me, this shows the journey. Okay, once I become a child of God, this shows the journey that I'm going to make in my commitment. He says, we remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I like this particular passage, this particular verse, is because to me, it shows the progression. To me, when I think about the words work, labor, and endurance. They are three words that all mean similar things, but they're different stages of that idea. And then the motivation that comes behind them are different. So let's start with the first. He says, first, he remembers them because of their work produced by faith. So once you become a child of God, well, obviously you've become a child of God because you have faith in God, because there is a belief, there is an understanding. You look at your life and you see that there is a God working, that there is a God doing things around you, that this isn't all just an accident. That there is something bigger and greater and more powerful behind all of it. You understand the importance of Jesus and that sacrifice. So you have this faith. And the first thing that you do once you become a child of God is that faith should lead you to work. It should lead you to putting effort into your life. That one of the things that we talk about from the book of Hebrews, that faith is the substance and evidence that there is a God. The Hebrew writer tells us that when we live our faith, what we're doing is we are the substance and we are the evidence that God exists, that we believe that there is a God. And so by the things that we do, but that idea of work to me is kind of a simple word. It's a simple word where we are working in our faith. I am putting forth an effort in a direction maybe that I've never done before, but I'm here. I'm helping out. I'm sharing my faith when possible. But it's a very easy work because of what he says in the next verse. Because the next verse is not just work, but the word is what? Your labor prompted by love. So first, I'm easing into this walk because of my faith. But then once I understand, the deeper I get into this, I understand the love that is associated with my faith. I understand the love that God truly has for me. I understand the love that is supposed to exist in this church family. And because of that, when the work gets hard, I'm willing to labor through it. I'm willing to give a greater effort. Because you see, sometimes when we are in the beginning of the journey, when the work gets hard, we have a tendency to back away. We're not really there yet. We're not sold out enough to really labor through the difficult parts. It's very interesting to me that as you look at the history of the church, that the church actually became stronger the smaller it got at one point. The more that the Roman Empire persecuted and killed Christians, the smaller that it got, the stronger that it got, because they learned to labor. They understood the love that came from God, the love that came from one another. And so that's really step two, is our labor prompted by love. But then there's even a third step, a more fulfilling step, and it's the idea of endurance. That I start out and I work and I do what I can. I'm trying to figure out my gifts, and then I'm willing to labor, work a little bit harder. But then to me, the idea of endurance is not just I'm doing my job, but I'm going to help carry you as you learn to do yours. The word endurance itself is the idea of standing up under something, that I'm going to keep persevering, that, hey, the work may be hard and I may be carrying my load and I may have to carry your load for a little while because of your struggle or because of the challenge that you may be having in your life, but I'm willing to do that. And why am I willing to do that? I'm willing to do that because of the hope that I have in Christ Jesus. And what is that hope? When you listen to the words of Jesus and you read the words of the apostles, that hope is an eternal hope. That hope is our eternal home. That hope is the idea that there is going to be a day that not only we die and go to heaven, but there's going to be a day that we are resurrected from the dead and we spend eternity with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. It's not just everything's going to be okay hope. It's not just God's going to work our life out and everything's going to be wonderful here hope. It's that we are investing in our future. We have something to look forward to. And no matter how bad things get here, no matter how difficult the struggle, no matter how challenging the moment, no matter how people treat us because of our faith, I have a hope that lies in front of me that I'm going to get there one day. And it's all going to be worth it. And he says that hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you put that together with the rest of Scripture, it's an eternal hope. It is a hope that is beyond this moment right here. It's beyond the storm. It's beyond the challenge. It's even beyond the blessings that hope is what we are working for and looking for. And I'm inspired by that. And I'm willing to put everything that I have into this journey to get to that point. And so to me, this is in a nutshell where we are. So I kind of want you to just look at it and just ask yourself, where do I fall in this? What is my current growth place? Where am I in my journey? Am I in this place that, hey, I'm willing to work, but I'm not really overextending myself? I'm doing things that come up. I'm doing things that I'm comfortable with. Have you moved into that labor place to where, hey, look, I'm willing to do more. I'm willing to put forth more effort. Or are you finally into that really a deep level of discipleship to where I'm willing to endure things? I'm really willing to carry my load. And then when needed, I'm willing to carry your load as well to help you through moments to get to the other side in your own life. So I think this is a very reflective passage of where am I in my walk? And then the next question is, what do I need to do to take the step to get to the next place? What do I need to do to go from being a worker to a laborer, from a laborer to someone who is just willing to endure whatever comes? The sad thing is some of us aren't going to be willing to make that, make those moves. Some people get so comfortable in their faith that they just want to stay in one place. I'm comfortable right here. But I think that's the point of these type of passages, is that Paul is saying, this is a wonderful thing that I know about you and I see about you in your church, because you're doing this. You're moving from one place to the next, from one spot into the journey to the next. God does not call us to just sit in one place in our faith. He calls us to put on our armor and go out to battle. He calls us to pick up our sword and share the gospel. He calls us to work in the kingdom. It's not just about becoming a Christian and being saved. It is about becoming a Christian, being saved, and doing everything we can to share the good news with other people. Look at what he says about our message. And I love this next particular idea. He says that our gospel came to you not simply with words. Not simply with words. When we sit down and study and share the Bible with people, we are not simply sharing words of God. Because to me, saying that, how many, there's tons of words. And we talk about a lot of things and we share a lot of thoughts. But he says the message of God is not just words, but it also comes with what? Power. It also comes with power. It's the power to save. It's the power to change. It's the power to rescue. The words of Jesus calm the storm, right? The words of Jesus raised the dead and brought them back to life. The words of Jesus, the words of the gospel, the words of God are powerful, and they're not empty. Also come with the what? They come with the Holy Spirit and a deep conviction. He said, when we shared the gospel with you, this was how we shared it. And if we share the gospel with the same conviction, I believe ultimately we get the same results. I've heard people say, and this drives me crazy, when somewhere that I worked one time, we were talking about church growth and different things. And they said, you'll never grow beyond this point. And they threw out a number. And they're like, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, Matthew, we're never going to grow beyond this point. And I'm like, well, if you have that attitude, are you going to grow? No, you're not going to grow. If you have the attitude of this is our plateau and we can never do any better, we're never going to do any better. But I truly believe we have the same Savior as the book of Acts, the apostles in the book of Acts. We have the same message. We have the same Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can have the same what? Results. We can see the same things happen with the same Savior, the same Holy Spirit, and the same message. And that's what he's telling us. We came to you with the gospel. It wasn't empty. It came with power. It came with the Holy Spirit, and it came with a conviction. And because of that, this church in Thessalonica became a church that their message rang out to all of the known world. People knew who they were. Why is that? Well, come back tonight and you find out. We'll do part two of this lesson this evening, because there's another 20 minutes of material here, and I want us to get all of it today together. Again, we go back to verse 2 or verse 3, and I challenge you, where are you in your walk this morning? Last week, we wanted to make sure everybody's walk was where it needed to be in a salvation sense. This week, we talk about once we become that child of God, are we moving forward? Are you moving forward this morning? And if not, what's hindering you from that? What is getting in your way? Satan wants us to sit still. And Satan's going to put every roadblock in front of us to keep us motivated to do nothing. Can we be motivated to do nothing? Absolutely. Being motivated to do nothing is so easy. You just sit there and do nothing. Being motivated to work, to labor, to endure, that takes effort. What's keeping you from your effort this morning? Let's close with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for a chance to study this morning. And God, we just are so grateful for our church family. I'm so grateful for so many people here that have made the decision to be workers in your kingdom, who have stepped up and are continuing in that journey and not just settling for easy faith, easy work, God. Help us to all be willing to put forth the effort to serve in the greatest capacities we can. Help us to always wake up every morning and be willing to put a great spiritual foot forward, to grow, to step out of our comfort zone, to share your gospel with the conviction that Paul shares in this particular text. Let us be those type of Christians that our message rings out everywhere we go. For those that are struggling with that this morning, we pray that you give them a greater faith. Help their unbelief, God, as they are trying their best to believe and to live for you. Give them the power and the strength to walk with you every day. God, I pray for those who are struggling with their decision and maybe are outside of a relationship with you. Pray that they hear your words, that if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. That if we repent and be baptized, not only will we be forgiven, but we will receive the powerful Holy Spirit. Help those that are struggling with that, God, to hear your message this morning, to hear your call, and to be willing to make that commitment to you through the waters of baptism. May we encourage them as well. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed.
Thank you again for joining us, and please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or our podcast. We can be found on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast provider. Also, leave us a 5-star review, which will greatly assist in getting the message of God's love and salvation to others. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram,
mortals join the mighty chorus, which
and Twitter,
the morning stars began, farther love.
Be sure to join us again, and until then, remember to love like Jesus.
Man to man.